Sermon on Mark 14, 1 to 11. The writer of this gospel once again uses what's become known as the Mark and Sandwich. There's one story which starts and ends the passage. There's another story sandwiched in the middle. The outside of this sandwich, the bread if you like, are verses 1 and 2, then verses 10 and 11. All of it, though, takes place on the same day. It's a Wednesday, to be precise. Let's get the first story out of the way so we can concentrate on the meat of the sandwich. Sorry to the vegetarians and vegans, you can have a nut burger in the middle if you want. But I'm using the word metaphorically rather than literally. So then, verses 1 and 2, 10 and 11. Yet again, the temple authorities were plotting in order to carry out their long-standing ambition to do away with Jesus. This time, though, they wanted to do it by stealth. Today, I suppose we'd probably employ a hitman. They did have a big problem, though. Massive crowds would be on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Although these were separate events, the one followed immediately on the other, so to all intents and purposes it became one festival lasting a week. The priests were not put off because of the religious aspect, but that there might be a riot. Now moving on to the last two verses, 10 and 11, we read that their problem was solved. Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, went to them offering to betray Jesus by telling them where they could find him when he would be apart from the crowd. That was good for Judas, as they promised to pay him for his services. Okay then, end of part one. Now for the large story in the middle. In between the slices of bread is a story of Jesus' body being anointed for burial. As had happened on different occasions, Jesus and his disciples were staying in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem. They had met in the house of a man called Simon. Could be that he was one of the people Jesus had cured of leprosy. The main character seems to be a woman, of whom Mark didn't give her name. That's not unusual throughout Mark's gospel. It seems like he liked to cut out unnecessary words. A man after my own heart. The woman had an alabaster jar full of expensive nard. Nard was made from the fragrant roots of a plant called the spikenard, a herb which grows high up in the Himalayas, probably in the north of India. Its expense was partly due to high costs in transporting it. It was so valuable that it was sold in alabaster boxes. And it was this oil that she poured on Jesus' head. Some people, probably followers of Jesus, objected to this. And it's interesting that the people actually understood something of Jesus' ministry. They knew about his concern for the poor and disadvantaged. The oil infused with perfume was worth a year's wages. They were saying, just think what we could have done with the money. We could have given it to the poor. I suppose to defend the disciples a bit, Jesus had been given mixed messages. It wasn't long before this that he'd praised the woman who'd given a couple of pence to the temple and criticised the rich. Now he was praising this woman for her extravagance. You can show kindness to them any time you want, he says, but you won't always have me. She'd done what she could. She'd anointed his body beforehand for his burial. A couple of points about this story. Firstly, a negative one. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. Some people, even sadly some who call themselves Christians, have used this statement to justify the persistence of poverty. In other words, you don't need to do anything about it. Jesus said that we will always have poor people, so there's no point in doing anything about it. Poverty is natural. It was Nelson Mandela who said, poverty, apartheid and slavery are not natural, they are man-made. Using Jesus, the champion of the underdog, to justify huge differentials in society seems to me a serious misuse of the Bible. Secondly, a positive point. Jesus commended the woman for her action. He said, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. It's a bit like saying, a statue is going to be built of you. Why did Jesus say that? The truth is, we can't read Jesus' mind, but we can guess. Jesus had been talking about his forthcoming death quite a bit, but nobody really understood. At last, this woman seemed to have got the message. When Jesus eventually died, expensive spices would be used on him. If it wouldn't be a waste then, it isn't now. Rather like someone saying, I prefer you to buy me flowers while I'm alive, rather than wait till I'm dead. It didn't actually escape my notice that Jesus received expensive gifts both at his birth and at his death. Gold, frankincense and myrrh at his birth, expensive spices when he died. I expect some thought that both gifts would be wasted. The woman in the story, although she might have not have understood it all, she did know that Jesus was heading for death. Not only that, but the woman anointed Jesus on